Monster Movie Media presents.
Welcome to Creepy Days. During the month of October, Creepy Kingdom will have a series of bonus episodes getting us ready for Halloween. In this episode, I give an in-depth trip report all about my recent visit to Walt Disney World. Hello, everyone. I'm here with the evil queen of Creepy Kingdom, Miss Roxy Tartt.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good.
Lovely.
Just got back from vacation.
Where did you go on vacation?
As you. You just got back from vacation.
I did too.
Everyone just got back from vacation. I guess if you didn't get back from vacation, I'm sorry.
Well, a lot of people are even on vacation right now. This is a popular time to vacation for some reason. October is the new July.
It really is. I went to Washington on vacation.
Oddly enough,
where did you go, James?
It was oddly enough, no Disney parks in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, no, I just got back from Orlando, Florida, where I was there working on the Foolish Mortals documentary. But while I was there, I did partake in some activities, some leisure activities. For whenever I had a moment and some time, and we're going to talk about my time at Walt Disney World, which none of the interviews took place there. Just I want to keep reading that to everyone. That was not part of the filmmaking process. But how am I going to be in Orlando and not go to Walt Disney World?
Right, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, that wasn't even an option. Obviously, I was going to find some time to go.
Yeah. Okay, so I think, first of all, I want to let everybody know that this is kind of a tradition that James
yes.
goes to Disney World without me, and then he tells me all about it on the show. I don't know anything about his trip except what I saw on social media, so this is the first time I get to hear anything he has to say. So I think that it's important that everyone understands that this is like our tradition.
Yeah, and this is a real conversation.
And
we're not like pretending that she hasn't heard this stuff.
Right? Like we're not pretending to have a conversation. But no, it's just tradition to go without me and then tell me about
to it. To go without you.
But the other thing I think everybody should know, James maybe should be reminded of this, is that I was actually originally supposed to go on this trip with you.
You were. The budget did not allow.
Yeah. But not even that. Like, the budget didn't allow, and something else came up in my life that I had to do on the same weekend, which led to my vacation on home. But anyways,
right. The
point here is I was supposed to be on this trip with James. So I just want you all to remember that as he's telling me all about the trip that he took without me.
I will. All right, keep trying to nail that point in, but I don't think anyone's picked up on it. I will say this. I was going to say this for the end, but I'm just going to drop this right at the beginning. You know, I was there to do Foolish Mortals. This wasn't a vacation, but of course I got some fun things along the way. But I had to squeeze it in, as I just said. And while I was doing it, I was just so like determined to do as many things as possible. I was squeezing it in this, you know. I had this list of things I wanted to do, things I hadn't done in years. Obviously, check out all the new stuff, all this stuff. And by the end of the trip, I was thinking, it's like, you know, I feel like we should do this again next year. And by we, is I feel like there should be like a Creepy Kingdom trip to Orlando next October, because it has to be Halloween time, because that's when all the sweet stuff is. And even for just the listeners, not just for us, like, you know, I haven't even said this to anyone that this is a world premiere thing, you know, like set up a tour, like, you know, like, oh yeah, you can have individual times, but to have like a big group of us, like, go to the parks, go to Mickey's Not So Scary, go to Halloween Horror Nights at Universal. Check out
the
cool bars.
Dude, I love this idea.
Isn't it awesome?
Yes.
Because that's what was
yes.
Not only were you missing from my adventures, but everyone was missing. Like, I was just like,
right? No, I think that is like the best idea. I love that idea.
So we'll revisit that later. But I just thought that was like, that's such an awesome thing to do. Like, let's.
Yes, 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 yes.
So, yeah. So there's that. But yeah, and as you may or may not know, while I was there, Hurricane Matthew came to visit.
Mm-hmm.
So that was interesting. We arrived the day before the hurricane. nothing bad happened to us. When I say we, is that my girlfriend Shannon, who's been on the show. She was with me for most of the time because originally she was going to cover Spooky Empire, the big horror convention there. But that actually got canceled because of the hurricane.
Which was one of the original reasons that we were going to go.
To promote.
Like,
yeah.
When we first started planning this, it was all about we were going to go to Spooky Empire and work on Foolish Mortals and promote Foolish Mortals. And then we would do Disney World, obviously, and Universal if we could. And, like, anything else
squeeze
that we could
get
in.
Yeah, right, yeah. But, it was supposed to be around that.
Yeah.
So, as it all turned out, was that I originally was supposed to shoot the documentary interviews for Foolish Mortals in August. That was that was all part of that timeline. But it's all about budget, and when the money comes in, that's really what determined it. So I had to go last
week. Right.
You know, so what was my point? Oh, being bringing up Spooky Empire, I feel like we should go next year during Spooky Empire too, because that would just, why not get the most bang for your buck? If you go to the big, awesome horror convention, which apparently is one of the hugest ones in the country. The place where it was going to be, the Orange County Convention Center, was massive. We drove by it many times. I was like, a horror convention's here? This is like, it was like Comic-Con. Like, the place was huge. So, but anyways, I did a lot of things, some for the film, some at Universal, but we're going to be talking about Walt Disney World because that's the tradition that Roxy and I have. You know, and
yes.
This is and that's what this episode's going to be about. So I got to experience a lot of new things that were not at Walt Disney World the last time I was there, which was about 2 years ago, in September 2014.
I was going to say, wasn't it also Halloween time the last time you were there? But no, it was September.
Yeah, but it was still Halloween. Yeah, I mean, Halloween starts September
1st.
But
it was still Halloween time.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I think there's a Mickey's Not So Scary on September 1st. So yeah, but it was definitely full swing Halloween time while I was there. So another thing about me, I'm trying to figure out how many times I've been to Walt Disney World. It hasn't been a lot comparative to Disneyland. Roxy lived in Orlando for a period of time, so you banged out your count up pretty high there for a while.
Yeah, but I feel like the more time that goes by, like the less impressive my count gets. Because, like, I know I've been over 100 times for sure. Mm-hmm. Absolutely 100%. But, like, it was, like, 17 years ago. So
it takes a little bit off.
I mean, I've been back since, obviously. You know, we used to go every year. But yeah, I feel like the longer I stay away, like, the less impressive my record looks. So.
Well, it's still a record, and it's still impressive, but, you know, it takes a little bit of the edge off for 17 years ago. Last time, I think it was 2008 when you were there, right?
Yes.
Okay.
No.
No, it was more recently.
No, I went after 2008. It was like 2010, I think. It was still a long time ago.
All right.
Christmas. The last time I went there. Christmas.
2010. So it was a while ago.
No, it wasn't Christmas. It was after that. I don't know, dude. I don't know.
All right. It doesn't matter. It wasn't recently. So I've been there more recently than you is the point.
Very much so, yes.
So I actually should probably know how many times I've been. I'm going to figure it out right now on the show. So my first trip to Walt Disney World ever, I was 9 years old. In 1986, so there's one. I didn't go back to Walt Disney World until 2009, so that's a big,
jeez.
It's a big gap, you know. That time in between was my Disneyland time. So that's two, and then we had 2013, so that's three. 2014 is four.
Three.
So this is my fifth time to Walt Disney World. That seems so low.
That does seem really low.
But it's true. I'm a Disneyland person. I mean, I can't, no matter where I've lived, Mike, I literally have no idea how many times I've been to Disneyland. I couldn't even guess.
No, there's no way. There's absolutely no way.
Like,
Disney World, I could probably actually figure it out. If I sat down and did some math and got a calculator and, like, had, no, if I had someone do some math for me, I could probably figure it out. But Disneyland, no way we could figure that out.
Yeah, I have no clue. And, I mean, I could probably tell you in the past year, like, I could probably figure that out because it's probably been, like, 70 times in the past year, something like that.
Well, yeah, but that's easy to figure out. You just go online.
Yeah, because you check out
and
your
look
pass.
At their, yeah, they have a number. They have a counter thing now in your account, which is really nice.
So, needless to say. So. Even it's funny, though, because I feel like I've been there more just because I'm so involved. I'm so involved in, like, the history and listening to all these podcasts and all this stuff, you know, so that it's – but when I really think about it, I really haven't spent that much time there. So – and most of the time that I get to go, it's really short periods of time. Another reason why I want to take this longer trip next year is I don't want to rush. Every time I go, it's this, like, crazy commando, like, got to bang it out, stressful time. Which is, you know, keeps adrenaline going for sure. But, you know, I'd like to be able to enjoy myself a little bit, you know.
No, next time we're doing Disney World Roxy style, which means A, we're not rushing. B, we have more than 24 hours. And C, you are actually going to sit down and have a meal.
No, I sit down. I have a meal. I eat. You got to eat, yeah. Some days
you
I
need counter service.
Oh, that's – yeah, I do. You're right. You're talking about a sit-down meal. Yeah, I don't have time for that.
Yeah, no. You eat snacks and you eat counter service. No, that's not going to fly on our vacation. No.
We'll see. But I mean, it's interesting, though. You know, I have a new perspective on going to Walt Disney World after, you know, now being a Disneyland local for about a year. You know, because there's a lot that is not so – sacred. We're like, oh my god, I have to do this because, you know, either the same experience or a very similar one is right, you know, in my backyard.
Yep.
So it's very interesting. But that this time count and all this being said was that this was the first trip that I had ever stayed on property. Now, I didn't stay on property the entire time I was there because I was making the film, but I went to Walt Disney World on three different days. And one was I went to Mickey's Not So Scary, which, you know, started at 4 to, you know, to midnight. And that night I stayed on property. And then the next morning I ended up going to the park for a little bit.
Where'd you stay?
I don't need to tell you
where'd you stay that night?
Where did I stay?
Why? Yeah.
Why do you want to know where I stayed?
You said you stayed on property.
I did.
I want to know where.
I stayed at a Value Resort. What the hell do you think I stayed?
Well, I want to know. Damn it. I didn't get to go. This podcast is about you telling me about your trip, and I have questions.
All right. So this first night, I stayed at Pop Century, which I just said I never stayed there before. I had been there before several times because I've had friends that were staying there while I stayed off property. And we're going to Mickey's Not So Scary that night. And I'm like, well, wouldn't it be nice? We don't have to, like, go far away and we just stay on property and have a nice little night. Because most of the time I stayed there in Orlando, I was at an Airbnb. Because, you know, you know, we were keeping costs down. But I decided to stay on property that night. And then my last night, I stayed on property and I ended up going to the fabulous All-Star Music Resort. The very lovely.
I've never actually been to the Pop Century one. I've been to almost every hotel on the property, but I haven't been to the Pop Century one.
Well, we wanted to stay at the Art of Animation.
Well, yeah. If you're going to stay at a Value Hotel, who doesn't want to stay at Art of Animation?
Right, but that wasn't possible. Like, there was no more room. So, you know, I'm like, all right. And I wasn't going to go higher than Value anyways because it was a place to crash. You know, it's one night.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and the Not So Scary party didn't get out until midnight. Like, so there's really no reason to stay anywhere, like, super, you know, cool,
interesting.
You're not going to
enjoy it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I said, just a place to crash, take a shower, really, you know.
Makes perfect sense.
And comparative to the rates I was paying for Airbnb, I mean, we're talking like $20, $30 a night. So it was pretty low. Now, which was not – it was the beginning of the trip, which was not part of the filming or the budget or whatever, which, you know, when my girlfriend came with me, she originally came to cover Spooky Empire, which is a horror convention. Did I just say that on air or not? Am I repeating myself?
Yes. Right. Yes, you did.
Never mind. I'll skip over that. Anyways, I just want to point out that we started our trip – at the Cabana Bay Resort at Universal Studios, which I stayed at last time I was in Orlando. And it is absolutely incredible. That's actually where we had to ride out the storm. Like, we were like a 24-hour lockdown in the Cabana Bay Resort.
It looked really cool. I mean, it looked really nice on your social media, but all of the stuff that you guys were posting about how well you were treated.
Oh, yeah.
It seemed like a really... If you got to be stuck somewhere in a hurricane, yeah, it seemed like a good place.
That is the best place to be stuck. I've heard a few horror stories that was going on at Walt Disney World, which I'm not going to get into because it wasn't my experience. But I'm just saying, like, if we got to be stuck somewhere, this place is great. And just compare, I settled for the Valley Resorts of Walt Disney World. Like, I love Cabana Bay. Like, I love the theming. It's themed to, like, a 1960s... New Jersey, like, seaside boardwalk town.
Well, no wonder you like it.
Because yeah, I'm from New Jersey. But not even that. It's everything's, you know, everything's like retro and even down to the soap. You know, they got Zest soap in there.
That's awesome.
This would definitely be on our little tour next year, staying at Cabana Bay.
All right.
I just love it. I love everything about it. It's the same price as the Walt Disney World Valleys. It's literally, you know, they built it to compete with that market.
Uh-huh.
And there's just no comparison. Like, and so my little rant right here is about staying on property for me.
Okay.
And I know that you have a different stance on this. I will interject and say the boardwalk is an amazing place, and I would love to stay there.
It's a nice place to stay.
Yeah, I would, you know, I definitely would love to stay there. But it doesn't really do anything for me staying on property because the transportation of Walt Disney World, like the buses, is horrible. Like, especially when you're low on time, like I was.
Yeah.
Like, it just, that doesn't help me.
No, it's why we always stay over by the boardwalk and that, because you can use the boats.
Right. You can get to Epcot right there or to Hollywood Studios really easily with the boats, which is a pleasant ride. And there's not, most of the time, not too much of a wait for it.
Yeah.
But the buses, I mean, it's just no.
No, they're terrible.
So I had a car rented there, so I was clearly going to drive everywhere I was going. So sure, you get, you know, a parking pass when you stay on property, so that's cool. Another perk is getting to book FastPass Plus reservations, which I'm going to get into that for sure, a month before everyone else, which helps for the headliner attractions. You get extra magic hours, you know, sure. Yeah, I get it. There's perks. But the thing it doesn't really save on is time. Because I could get from somewhere off property to one of the parks, like, way faster, depending on where I am, than being taking the bus from the resort. Like,
I've only taken the buses, like, twice. Ever.
Oh, okay.
So, like, I'm with you on the whole bus thing. Like, but you know, we always stay on property. But we don't take the buses. So, because I don't like them. They're too slow.
Take a cab? Like, it's not
Yeah, they're too slow. They're too hot. And I don't like being pressed up against all them people.
Oh, it's a miserable experience.
Yeah, no. We actually, we hotel hop. That's what we do. So we go, if we're staying in the boardwalk area at, like, the Yacht and Beach Club or whatnot, then we take the boat to Epcot or to MGM, right? Hollywood. Sorry. Hollywood Studios.
I know. Old schoolers.
really, from the boardwalk, you can walk to Epcot. Like, I've done it a bunch of times.
Sure.
So we usually take the boat. And then what we'll do is, if we want to go to Magic Kingdom, obviously if we're at Epcot, we just take the monorail. Right. That's the easiest.
Yep.
But if not, we just walk out the front of our hotel and take a cab to the Grand Californian or the Grand Floridian. And then we get on the monorail from the Grand Floridian and take it to Magic Kingdom.
Why wouldn't you just take the cab all the way to Magic Kingdom?
Like, because then you still have to do the boat or the monorail. So,
and right. You can hop right on the monorail. Gotcha.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So we just take it to the Grand, and then we hop on the monorail right there. And then for Animal Kingdom, we just take a cab to Animal Kingdom.
Right. So now there's cabs, and now Uber is even more popping. So there's ways to avoid it. But for me, I could even say, like, I could probably, like, even from, like, Cabana Bay, like, across town Universal, even if I left from there and drove, because you basically just get right on the freeway, and that goes right into Walt Disney World, mm-hmm. I would say that's the same amount of time as getting on a bus, waiting for the bus, getting there, to Magic Kingdom particularly, you know, to get...
We should time it. On our next trip, we should do that as like, a service to our listeners and whatnot. We should time it. We should spend some time. One of us go to Cabana Bay and one of us, you know, go to like a value resort and see how – I'm totally serious.
All right, go.
Yeah, I'm totally serious. I'll even ride a bus if I have to.
Wow. The sacrifices you'll make for the show.
I know. It's crazy. Also, when we go, we're not staying in a value resort, just for the record.
Well – that's the thing for me. I don't know about when we go. I'm not even getting that thing. But at the point I'm getting at is that for me, I, you know, it doesn't really make financial sense. You know, like it just, I don't know. Cause
that's fair.
Again, it might be a thing where like if it's more time, mm-hmm. then you can take things slow. But my trips are always like I just go in the room to sleep and take a shower, you know? Like,
yeah. And I'm Your trips are ridiculously fast.
Yeah. And I feel like just dropping all that cash for a room when I could get something off property for like a quarter of the price, that's fabulous, as opposed to how crappy the value resorts are at Walt Disney World. Like, we stayed at another place too during production because we were filmed in this really cool hotel that's on iDrive called the Castle Hotel. Kind of like a boutique hotel. Same price as Cabana Bay, same price as the Valley Resorts. But this was a boutique, fancy hotel. Like, I thought it was on the lap of life. I felt like when I was walking around this hotel, I felt like any moment they were like, excuse me, sir, you're going to have to leave. We don't. I don't know what you're, why you think you could be here. You know, like, that's what I thought was going on. You know, so. For me to stay at some place like that and then stay at the equivalent of a Motel 6, I just don't think it's – I don't think it's worth it. Maybe other circumstances might be worth it, but I don't know. We can move on from this. This isn't the resort podcast.
No, it's not. We should do a resort podcast. Have we done that?
No. Well, I want to – yeah, let's find out all the creepy spots. You know, there's yeah. They're hidden. They're there.
Yeah, we'll do that.
So – Some things that were new. Last time I was there, Fast Pass Plus had just been forced upon everyone.
And you hated it.
I hated it. I absolutely hated it.
Hated it.
I did. I did for sure. Magic Bands had not hit the scene last time I was there. So since we stayed on property, we had Magic Bands sent to us. Because at that point, you know, we could book our FastPass Pluses, and it also acts as your hotel key.
Yes.
And, you know, I was kind of like, I don't wear a watch. I don't, you know, or anything on my wrist. And I'm like, I don't know. This is going to bug me. I probably won't even wear it. I'll just take it out.
Just carry it.
Yeah, carry
it. Like a belt loop or something.
Yeah, something like that. I have to say, the Magic Bands were surprisingly comfortable. And extremely convenient.
Well, that is kind of the point of them.
Yes, like it was like this is incredible. Like I was like immediate. Like it was like a 180. Like I was just like as soon as we tried to open the hotel room with my hands completely filled with stuff and all I need to do was put my wrist to the door, I was like, yes. I'm all about this.
I wish I could have been there for that moment. I really, really do. You guys, that is a moment I wish I had not missed in my life.
I don't know, man. I was just like, these are awesome. Get in the park. I don't have to fumble through my pockets and take out anything. Just put it up there. Now let's get to the super controversial FastPass Plus.
Yes, let's.
So, you know, out here on the West Coast, us Disneyland people, we want a fast pass. We got to walk over the attraction, get a piece of paper, put it in our pocket, and go back there at that time.
It's simple. The way God intended.
The way God intended. Yeah. Well, it's simple. It makes sense. Like, you could grasp the concept pretty easily, right? You know? You know, and but I just remember that last time when I went 2 years ago, it was just like, all right, I want a fast pass for, I don't know, just say Space Mountain, whatever. And so the normal way of thinking is like, okay, let's see what the return time is when I get there. But I was on the way to the park at that moment. I remember I was like on the monorail or whatever, and this is the last trip. And I'm like, oh, wait, no, I can do it on my phone. So I take out the app. It's like, I would like a fast pass for Space Mountain. Sorry, all fast passes are gone for today.
Yeah.
And I just immediately was just like, ah, you know, screw this.
Oh, James, I had a little heart attack. Why? Why hast thou forsaken me, fast passes?
So I will.
A dramatic reenactment.
That's pretty much how it went. Everyone's like, yeah. Why is this guy doing a Shakespeare on the monorail by himself? But I have to say, I was able to make FastPass Plus work for me on this trip. Now, I wasn't able to book the headliner attractions in advance because I didn't get tickets till I got there. So I wasn't able to do things till really the day of. But since I had such a small window of things I was trying to accomplish, I was able to FastPass things that weren't super popular, but that I still wanted to do. And it was pretty crowded when I was there. So there still would have been it wasn't a super long wait, but there still would have been wait. So when time is of the essence, it was able to work for me. And the way it works, just for us West Coast people that I don't know, is you could book 3 fast passes in a day. And then as soon as those times expire, whether you go on those or not, then you could book 1 at a time after that until the next time expires. And I was able, after those 3 expired, I was able to book something on the fly and save time. And right there, I was like, okay, like this works. Like, I get it. I'm like, it's not, you just got to think about it differently. It's not the way you're used to being like, you know, for the headliner stuff, you have to make, you have to figure out a way around it. You know, like be there at rope drop,
mm-hmm.
You know, go during special events, like the Halloween parties, you know, like,
yeah.
You know, stuff like that. And then that's, and so I was able to just navigate around it. So now there's been talk of Magic Bands and FastPass Plus coming into Disneyland, not the ability to book 2 months in advance, but book the day of, just to have everything the same, like digital. So essentially, mm-hmm. You could wake up in your house and be like, at 10 o'clock in the morning, you're like, you know, I think I might want to go ride Space Mountain tonight at 6 o'clock. Put the, you know, set the reservation. And then, you know, walk in there with your band and just walk right on. And
it's a pretty fabulous idea.
I think that would work. You know,
like I love the idea of waking up and booking my fast passes, like my 3 fast passes or whatever, over breakfast.
Yeah.
You know, I know that I want to do this, this, and this today for sure. So you book those 3. And even if one of them isn't until 11 o'clock that night, because that's when you could get in. So what? You've got 2 more. And after that, you know.
Well, I wouldn't do that. I was just going to say that. Well, if you, because then you wouldn't be able to get another fast pass till after 11, so you wouldn't want to do that. You would never want to, you would never want to do that so late, because then it wouldn't work in your favor. But I mean, it would be a little bit different navigating it in Disneyland than Walt Disney World for sure. But
mm-hmm.
It could work. But Disneyland will never work like booking 2 months in advance. Like that's just not that's just not going to work.
No. Most of us don't even know we're going to Disneyland 2 months in advance. I mean, that would work really well for, again, the same people that it works well for at Disney World. Those people who are going once a year on a big vacation. They're going to be there for a week or 2 weeks or whatever. It works for those people. But for the general Disney fan population, you know.
Yeah. Disneyland is a park of locals. Like, you know, and not even – like, it's just, you know, That's just the way it is. And yeah. Even, you know, even people that make those kind of trips, it might not be local, like in the same, you know, in Orange County, but it's a day drive. You know, they don't have to plan months in advance or weeks. But, you know,
no. We're coming down to Disneyland at the beginning of November. A month ago, I did not know I was going to be in Disneyland at the beginning of November.
Right, and if you tried to book those fast passes today, they'd be all be gone because they were booked up 2 months ago.
That would suck.
So that's.
Do you remember? Do you remember? Speaking of it not working, I think this is a really good example. Do you remember when, or do you even did you even hear of when the Photo Pass thing was doing like the Photo Pass Plus thing, and you could book it in advance that it was all of your ride photos and all of your photo pass photos and all of your meal photos, your character meal photos, all on a CD, and it was like $60.
Yeah, I did hear. Remember this? Yeah,
yeah, but you had to book it 60 days or more in advance.
Right.
Of all of the times that I went to Disneyland, I never was able to book and use that.
Yeah, 60 days. That's
yeah. It's 2 months. It just doesn't work for Disneyland. And it obviously didn't work well because they got rid of it.
Right. Yeah, that's nuts. But that's, you know, just my, you know, my official stance on those things that I wasn't really about. You know, I was really pissed off about the way FastPass Plus worked. I think the transition was pretty bad from paper to FastPass Plus. You know, like, I think, and it was... It took me a long time to figure out how to, like, what was going on. And that's me, a Disney fan. I can't even imagine Joe Public. Like, what? Like, you know, you get there and you just want to go on this ride. What? I was supposed to, 60 days ago, I was supposed to say I wanted to be here at this time? Like who thinks like that? I don't know. Like, it's insane. You know, I don't know. But that kind of leads to my next point I want to say, too. And I wrote this on Twitter, and it some people agree with me, some people challenge me on it. But the general vibe I got being at Walt Disney World, particularly Magic Kingdom, is that most people that were there just seemed so pissed off and agitated.
Why?
Like, I mean, I could theory.
How dare they?
Like it was like, as opposed to Disneyland, where I feel like just. Everybody's like so happy to be there. Like that's like the vibe, like all the time.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of parents that go to Walt Disney World don't know what they're getting themselves into.
Okay. Yes.
That's my theory. Yes. That's my theory. I'm not saying that kids look miserable. I'm saying that adults, like, just like everyone just seemed annoyed, agitated. People were like rude. Like, don't really care about, like, you know, like, if you're in their way, you better watch out.
I don't remember ever having that experience, but I pretty much surround myself in that Disney magic bubble and ain't nothing going to get through it. Like, there could be a fight next to me and I wouldn't know. But I totally agree with you that when people go to Disney World, they the majority of the time, they don't understand what they're getting into. They don't understand how big it is,
nope.
How much there is to do, and how far apart everything is. I get asked all the time. I'm sure you do, too, from, you know, people who know you're a Disney person.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we're going to go to Disney World. We have 3 days. Is that enough time? No. No, I'm taking my 5 kids to Disney World for 2 days. That's enough time to do everything, right? No.
5 kids. I mean, 5 kids aren't going to make it one whole day. Like these kind of trips that I take, no child could keep up at that pace with the amount of walking and the humidity.
And that's the other thing. People don't take into account the weather.
Oh, not at all.
The fact that it's going to be super humid and it's going to rain at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Are you prepared for rain at 3 o'clock? Nobody ever is unless you live there.
Right.
But no. I 110% agree with you. I think that a lot of people go to Disney World and they get there and they realize that they were not prepared.
They're not prepared. And they just drop so much money. They've probably been saving it up for a long time because the average family, I mean, the price of things there, it's just getting more and more expensive.
Yep.
You know, and they're there for their kids. So they're not thinking that this is worth it. Like, you know, like for them, like, I mean, they want to make their kids happy, but most of, you know, I'm sure there's those moments where the kids are like, I'm tired, I'm hot, I'm hungry, you know, and it just, you know, I just saw so much of that vibe. Like, it was just like, you know, and I'm going to bring this up too, since I'm on my soapbox here.
It's your show.
Yeah. So, there was a few times where I watched. I got a spot to watch Parade and also watched a show at Mickey's Not So Scary. And, you know, it's like you stand there for a while, scope out a spot. The main number one reason I wanted the spots that I did was because I was going to be documenting them, taking pictures, taking photo and all this stuff. So, I stood there for as long as it took to get it, you know, like it wasn't like I just strolled right up. And no, one time I literally, I remember I was standing watching the show, and I had these people that were behind me that were, it was like a family of eight or seven. They were sitting down waiting for the show to start. Once the show started, they did not stand up.
Why not?
I don't know. This is the Castle show, the Hocus Pocus show too.
Yeah, but that's what you do.
Right.
You sit down while you wait for the show, and when the show starts, even if it's the fireworks that are happening literally over your head, you stand up.
They did not. I was standing the entire time. I didn't sit while they were sitting, and blah, blah, blah. And I was filming the show. About a minute into it, I get poked in the back. And Sam says, I can't see. Can you move? And I was just like,
no.
So I pretty much had like a non-reaction. Also, I'm like filming. Like, I'm not just like, I'm not just like standing there, like crossing, you know, my hands and my hips whistling. Like, so, you know, it's like, I acknowledged what was being said to me. I determined that it was not a concern of mine and continued what I was doing because I was like, what are you talking about?
you were technically doing what you were supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
You're supposed to stand during those shows. Everybody knows that.
And then, and then 30 seconds later, like another, like the mother asked me to move. And at that point, I'm like, I just kneeled down for the rest of the show because I was just like, I'm trying to document this and I'm not going to have this family like bothering me. And it really started to get me this thing where it was like, and also I didn't want to talk. Like if I wasn't documenting, then yeah, maybe I could have the conversation. Like,
totally,
you know, but it's like, I get that your kids can't see. And I'm all about, like, if I wasn't filming, I would be like, yo, kids, hop right in front of me. Like,
come
what?
Stand in front of me.
Yeah. You know, whatever. But I paid just as much as everyone else to be in here. I stood here, like, claiming this spot. Like, I don't have to move because I'm not a kid.
No.
And that's the thing.
Absolutely not.
And the thing that's – and I've been seeing – and when I was waiting for the parade, that time I was by myself. And I – you know, and of course, it's 3 o'clock parade, so it's mostly kids and our parents with kids. And they're all, you know – their kids are restless and, you know, everyone's miserable. And like I said, that whole vibe. I was talking about that. Nobody literally said it to me, but so many times people tried to get me to move from where I was, like by like inching in my personal space. One person literally was like, oh, you know, it's like, hey, can I get there? And I was like, you want to go where I am right now? Like, that's what I said. and he was like, oh, I just want to go past you. I'm like, there's a rope here.
Right.
And then he's like, okay. But I think he like backtracked when I said, do you want to get rid of it? He literally wanted me to move so he could park his stroller there. You know, and I've been and I hear this a lot too, like adults should like not do certain things so that kids can enjoy the magic. And it's like, you know what, man, like I definitely about kids enjoying the magic. I'm not trying to take that away from anybody, but
no, of course not.
But my opinion is, you know, the kids didn't really have to do too much to get there. They just had to kind of exist, right? Maybe they had to get their homework done and feed the dog. I don't know, but you know, like Like I worked really hard to be where I'm at this particular moment. So, and, you know, I don't really care that I'm not a kid. Like, I'm sorry.
No, like, we have just as much right to enjoy the show as the kids do. And in a lot of cases, the adults that are there because they want to be there probably are enjoying the show more.
Right. You know?
But, okay, I cannot count the number of children that I have let stand in front of me at a show or a parade or whatnot when I have a good spot.
Right.
I have no problem with that. If your kid can't see because I'm standing there, absolutely I will let them stand in front of me. Just like you said, right? Yeah. If you hadn't been filming, sure. But what really irks me is when you have been standing or sitting in that spot for an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah.
To get that good spot. And someone like 5 minutes before the show comes up and is like, oh, can you move? My kids can't see.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. I'm like, what?
No. No, you should have been here sitting next to me for the hour and a half that I have been sitting here in this spot doing nothing, wasting my time because I want to see this show.
Right.
No, and like even in those cases, I'm still like, well, they can stand in front of me. As long as they're shorter than me, I don't care. Stand in front of me. I just want to see.
Right.
You know, but like that irks me a lot.
Yeah, no, that, and I feel like that was
soapboxing, apparently.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, that was really what was going on in Walt Disney World. And I feel like from being a Disneyland local, like, I mean, yeah, you'll get that every once in a while, what we talked about. But I mean, it's just like, there was just, I don't know, it's just a totally different vibe. Like, in particular, I'm talking about Magic Kingdom as versus Disneyland Park. And that being said, it made me realize something too. It was like, when I was at Magic Kingdom, it made me really miss Disneyland. Like, of course, there's some things that are not there that are, mm-hmm. I mean, that are Magic Kingdom that are not at Disneyland that are like the individual attractions and that, but I'm talking about that. I'm talking about just being in the park. Like, I was like, I feel like I'm in a weird dream state where like, this
it's
is
like bizarro world.
Yeah. Yeah. Like this is super familiar, but it's totally different. and I don't like it. like it was a weird thing. Like, of course I'm always going back to Walt Disney World. Of course, you know, Magic Kingdom has awesome things in it, but it made me really realize who I am. You know, for a long time I lived on the East Coast and it's like, oh, well, you're a Walt Disney World person because that's the closest park to you. But that's just not true. Like, I grew up going to Disneyland. I live right next door to it now. That is my home.
James is just a Disneyland kid.
I am. I mean, and another point I'll bring up, I'm not going to talk too much about Mickey's Not So Scary because that's another podcast, but this isn't necessarily specific to that, but the Halloween decorations that are in Main Street compared to both parks, the ones that are in Disneyland, like they have the huge, awesome pumpkin Mickey.
The pumpkin, yep.
You know, it's cute, sure. But as you go along some of the windows at Main Street, there's some like pretty creepy things in the windows. And like overall, it feels more like Halloween. Main Street in Magic Kingdom is the safest version of Halloween that I have ever – like they have pumpkin scarecrows that are smiling at you. Like I was just feeling like – I'm like this is so safe because they don't want that like – that family to be like, oh, my son was scared to walk down the street.
Right.
I feel like Disneyland like – they're like, yo, we got Snow White's Scary Adventures, and you know, we don't care. Like, deal with it. It's like, deal with it, dude. It's not that bad. You know? So, that's my observation. But, okay. So clearly I'm not going to go through everything I did, because we'd be here all day. But,
so you would.
I did want to bring up my thoughts on some new things that came along the pike here.
Okay. Like what?
One thing is, so I heard, and you may have heard about this, but I heard about it and I didn't investigate because I like to see things firsthand, that they added a new queue to Peter Pan's flight in Magic Kingdom.
Yes.
And
how dare you even question whether or not I would have heard about that, first of all.
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm just
moving
saying.
On.
What I'm speaking to you and the listeners. Give me a break.
Oh, well, in that case, yeah, okay. There might be some of you out there that hadn't heard about it. Peter Pan's flight got a new cute. It's amazing.
So you looked at the pictures, like you saw it?
Hell yes, I have. I've seen a walkthrough.
Okay, yeah. See, I hadn't at all. I literally had, like, I was like, I had nothing, and I really wasn't expecting anything. I was like, oh, I thought they enclosed the outside part and, you know. Mm-hmm. Spruced it up a little bit. I heard there was like a shadow effect. And that, you know, I'm like, oh, I thought it was like a mild distraction, basically, is what I thought. I was completely blown away by this queue. Like, this is the same as like walking into Hogwarts at Universal. Like you walk like into the Darling's house. The amount of detail that is in this space is incredible. Like, I was like, I love it. I really loved it. Like, I, you know, normally I wouldn't wait in that line, but I did that during Mickey's, where the line was, you know.
Yeah, nice and short.
Yeah, you know, well, short enough. It was like 20, half an hour. But, you know, normally it's like 2 hours or something like that.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh, I really want to check out this new queue. And I was just like, whoa, this is incredible. And the lead up to the queue with the portraits of scenes from the film, they look like paintings.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's so cool. It reminds you of like the beginning of old Disney movies where they would open the book and you would see a little preview, over the credits. Like, that's what it kind of like. Here's a little tease about what you're experience. Like, it's so cool. I mean, it's the queue is better than the ride at this point,
right?
You know, like
hi. Okay, so I'm the opposite of James, and I want to know everything about everything. So I don't need to see it firsthand. I want to know everything about it before I see it. So I did see a walkthrough and see photos and all of that. So when we were getting our refurb for Peter Pan here in California in Disneyland, yeah. I was so excited. And now I almost wish that I hadn't known all that stuff about the one in Magic Kingdom, because I was so let down by our refurb that we got at Disneyland that I was like, oh, they just, oh, okay.
Well, I like the
we don't get a cool new queue.
Right, but they didn't, I mean, the ride at Magic Kingdom is there's no refurb there. It was just the queue.
No, totally. They told us we were getting a refurb, and they had just done the one at Magic Kingdom, and I was like, oh.
So you thought it was going to be like kind of that level, yeah.
Yeah.
No, well, I, you know, if you look below the surface, Walt Disney World and Disneyland surely have the name, the word Disney in it, and that's their common bond. But they're run by two separate entities, you know.
You could
feel the difference, like, mm-hmm. You know, that's what I was getting at before. Like, this, they just feel totally different. But that anyway, it's Peter Pan's queue was awesome. Like, and I don't know if it was in your ride video or not, but or your walkthrough video, but. Like, there's all these things that happen in the Darling's bedroom that it's basically like Tinkerbell, like, flying around, and it's very subtle. And she's just like, oh, she flew near a light, and then this lamp will turn on. Like, I'm like, this room is like magic.
It's magic.
I was like, it was really cool. The shadow thing was cool as well, which... It's kind of hard to describe what it is.
We should just go see it. Let's go.
All right, let's go. I'm not going to describe it.
Let's go.
People could just check it out. But that was really cool. I gotta say, I loved it. I was very impressed. Initially there was an initiative at Magic Kingdom to add all of these scene ones, as they were calling them, as a way to get people to not be so like annoyed standing in long lines.
Yeah.
They did it with Haunted Mansion, which has been met with mixed reviews.
They did it with Dumbo.
Yeah, they completely did it with Dumbo by adding the, you know, the play area instead of waiting in line. Mm-hmm. And Peter Pan, and this initiative has been stopped. I think they did it with Big Thunder. They had a little bit. They have a few interactive things in the queue for Big Thunder, but it's been stopped for various reasons or whatever. So this is the end of that. But I was thinking, I was like, oh, that'd be cool. But then I was like, I'm like, well, I wish they'd do some more dark rides. I'm like, there's not even that many more dark rides left. Right. Because Pooh got that one. It was one of the first ones I got. I forgot. Yeah, Pooh got a completely crazy cue. Mm-hmm. Clearly, Little Mermaid ride was built with an amazing cue. It's the same ride as the one in DCA, which has a nothing cue. But, mm-hmm. but the Magic Kingdom aerial cue is, I mean, they had that in mind. So I don't know. But I guess they couldn't. They don't even have room to do anything like that at Disneyland, though. But it would be cool if they could, though.
It really would.
You know. So.
So what else? What else did you see?
What else did we see?
That
I loved. Well, that night, we did Mine Train again because it normally has a long wait, and I mean again because I did it before. And you know, it's fun. I still think it's a fun ride. You know, you get to see the witch at the end, which is not enough for me, but I still feel like it's too short. I guess that's my complaint about it. Like, so if I waited like 2 hours for this ride, I would like, I don't know, but it's, you know, it's like the in between, like for if you can't do Big Thunder yet, but then they're bored of the Barnstormer.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things, but yeah, it is what it is, whatever. So then, the next morning we got to go to Animal Kingdom for a few hours.
Yes. Let's talk about Animal Kingdom, James.
I would love to. Our lovely, listener who we had on the show talk about Animal Kingdom, who works at Animal Kingdom, who is a former Kilimanjaro Safari driver. I got to see her, let her know that we're going to be in the park. And so that was, it's fun briefly, but she was at work, so she didn't get to hang out. But I had not gone on the safari since 2009. I didn't really care for it then. And that was what inspired her to write in. I have not actually spoken with her since I did rewrite it, actually. So she is unaware of my thoughts.
Oh, so this is the first time she's going to be hearing them.
Yes.
Okay. So to catch everybody up, James rode the safari. He didn't like the safari. He complained about the safari. And this girl wrote in and was like, dude, you're wrong. You need to go on the safari again. Now we have met her. We met her in Disneyland when she was here visiting. She's really, really sweet. Works for Disney. Absolutely love her. So yes, but her whole thing was that James needed to try the safari again because he was just absolutely wrong about hating it.
Hating it's a strong word. I'm not a fan. I don't know. So did it again. My complaint another time too was that it was raining, and that day it was a day it rained all day. It wasn't a Florida, 20 minute rain, in 2009. And it really wasn't that many animals out. So we did it again, and it's just not for me, guys. I'm sorry.
Seriously.
Number one, the story of like going after the poachers and all that stuff, that's like
they
totally gone.
That,
yeah, that's totally
yeah.
gone. Yeah.
They got rid of that because it might offend somebody or upset a child or something.
And that was sorely missed because some kind of like, I'm still at a theme park, like there's some story going on here, probably would have made it a little more fun. I mean, I'm just generally not a like looking at animals kind of person, and like, most animals like, oh, there they are, all right. And the animals that you really want to see, like the ones that could kill you, they're like so far away, like the lion and stuff like that. And they're just laying around,
it's what they do. They're animals. It's what they do.
I know. And that's fine. I don't need to look at them lay around. Like if it was like a lion brawl or something, like,
dude, it's not his fault. He was just lying around.
He was lying around. Wow.
I know.
Wow. So yeah. Danielle, you're my sister from another mister. Maybe if you, the guy was okay. I just, you know, I want to, it's a fine way to have, you know, to sit for a while and chill, but, you know, I think I'm good for a while. The challenge Danielle gave to me was to go on with her, which I was not able to do. So I'm still willing to do that, Danielle. next time I'm there, and we'll see how much. Maybe you can give me like an extra tour where you tell me more than the person talking, and that'd be fun. But you know, anyways, from after that, of course, we had to hit up Everest.
Yeah.
Before we hopped out, you know, before we had to leave there, and still awesome.
Was the Yeti working?
What do you mean by working?
I mean, did it reach down and swoop at you with its big giant paw claw thingies?
Roxy, come on.
Yeah. Well, that answers that. No, the Yeti was not working.
if the Yeti was working again, I think that'd be some major news. You know, they're probably not going to take it down to fix it until Avatar Land opens because there's really nothing.
Nothing to do.
You know, and.
All right.
So, no. The Yeti was not working. It's still Disco Yeti time.
All right, fine.
Which is still.
It's still a good effect.
Yeah, no, it's still. The strobe light effect still. With the movement, it does seem like it's moving. It doesn't look completely stationary. So it's, you know.
It is still a good effect.
It's fine. But it's fine. What am I talking like that? It's very fine.
It's fine. Skylar, it's fine.
It's fine. It is very fine. I like it. But the ride itself is still amazing. It's still so much fun. But that was the end of my time at Animal Kingdom. So now Roxy's putting on bunny ears. Okay.
You didn't have to tell people that.
I did.
We just kept having this conversation.
Now she's putting on two pairs of bunny ears. This is three pairs of bunny ears. This is a treat just for me, guys. Sorry. All right. No, I can take you seriously with that. That's fine. Not a problem. I'm professional.
Yeah, okay. Keep being professional. We're going to do
this. Now she's juggling. Will you stop? That distracts me. The show has gone on long enough.
I can't help it.
You can't help but to juggle. Wow, that's the first time I heard that one. All right, so from anyone on Earth.
Come on, James, come on. We're recording a show here. Got to get serious.
All right, so my last day in town was I cleared it, so I had nothing else to do but spend the day at Walt Disney World. So this was an epic day. I went hard from dawn to dusk.
Like you do, because like you're crazy.
It was a crazy day. I documented this day as much as possible on Snapchat, which I saved that story because I was trying to guess how many snaps I did that day.
A lot.
I was like 20, 30, I don't know. It actually says how many snaps are in the story when you save it as a story. Mm-hmm. I did 89 snaps that day.
I watched those snaps.
How long do you think that – did you watch it all at once or just throughout the day?
No. It was periodically.
Okay. I watched it all at once. I feel like it was like 5 minutes until I get through it. It was mostly videos. That's why it wasn't – but
– it's awesome though.
Yeah. No, it was – I don't know. I just – you know, I figured people wanted to come along for the journey, the ride, whatever. So my objective was – the new things, of course, but do things I hadn't done in a long time. And, of course, do things that are not at Disneyland.
Yeah.
I was not going back to Animal Kingdom. So this was Epcot, Magic Kingdom, Hollywood Studios day. So my first objective, since I was staying on property, it was extra magic hours at Epcot, was to go to Epcot to try to get on the Frozen ride. During extra magic hours.
That's right. And you hadn't been on it yet, right?
No, it wasn't open last time I was there.
That's right. Okay.
So, yeah. It's opened this past summer. So it's brand new. The hottest ticket in town.
Yes. Yes.
2-3 hour waits. There's no way I would ever stand in any line, especially for a dark ride. But, you know, so I'm like, I got to do some extra magic hours thing. But I was only staying there that night, so I had to get up super early, check into my hotel at like 7 o'clock in the morning so that I could get into extra magic hours. It was a whole thing at the hotel. Their computers was down. It was all these things against me. Like, I was just trying to get in there. I finally got into the park. I think it was extra magic hours at 8.
Mm-hmm.
And the park opened at 9. I got into the park at 8:40. I'm like, all right, well, that's still enough time to beat the crowds. But, you know, I walked a million miles from the entrance to Norway.
Oh, did you come in from the...
Yeah,
from the main entrance?
Main entrance, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so I was so I got there, and again, this is, I love doing these things by myself because it's like, you know, at that time of the day, I'm just completely filled with parents of young children. You know, and it's just like, well, this is what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And so I stood in line, and at that point, I think it said it was 30 minutes when I got there. It probably got there at 8:50, so, you know, before general public still, which was great.
Mm-hmm.
So I was probably in line for like 10, 15 minutes when the ride broke down.
Of course it did.
Yeah. Actually, I was probably in line for a half an hour when the ride broke down, in all honesty, when I really think about it. So they're like, they tell us the line's going to break down. You could stare if you want, but, you know, you could leave. You know, nobody's leaving.
No. No. No, because even if it breaks down and you have to wait for a half an hour, it's still less time than you would wait if you had to come back later.
Right. So I was like, all right, I'm in it. But for me, I'm like starting to get kind of annoyed because I have this like super tight timeline. And I was gonna leave Epcot right after I got off the ride. So I had a really, you know, small, you know, we're in a period of time. So the ride ended up being down for like an hour.
But you stayed.
Oh, I stayed. I was reaching my threshold. Like, I was about to leave. I would say like about 10 more minutes and I was gonna go. Because I had this tight timeline, you know, if I did it, I'm like, whatever, just tough it out, and who cares? But I stayed, and
I got on the ride. I know what you thought of it because I watched your Snapchat.
I gave a little preview of it, of my thoughts. So I got on the ride and I went on it, and I thought it was an impressive ride. Just to bring everyone up to speed on my, you know, of me going into this. Is that I'm not really a Frozen fan. I don't hate it as much as others, you know, but I don't love it. You know, I'm not mad about Maelstrom going away, but at the same time, I feel like Frozen warranted something like other than a shoehorned overlay, like by how such a huge franchise it is.
Right.
So that's weird. It's kind of weird that it's a boat ride and it's supposed to be, you know, Frozen.
I don't know. They should have made the boats look like ice blocks or something.
Something. The boats were exactly the same as the Maelstrom. Like there was no, they didn't change the boats at all.
I mean, it does make sense from a company, from a money point of view. You know, Frozen took place in Norway. We already have Norway. No one is going on Maelstrom. Let's just put it here.
Right, but, you know, I guess I see what you're saying from there, but I feel like Frozen merited building a ride from the ground up.
Yes, it really did.
And in Magic Kingdom, on top of that, you know, I'm not like super offended it's in World Showcase like most people, like whatever, but like it just, the shoehorn thing's weird. All that being said, that's what I thought going into it. Like, I thought the animatronics were really cool. That's what I thought. Overall, I was impressed. And I didn't say this on my Snapchat, so you didn't hear this. But and it's, I guess it's a spoiler for anyone that hasn't been on yet. I don't think there's too mm-hmm. many listeners that care about spoiling the Frozen ride. But, but you know, in Maelstrom, for the people that have read it, they know that there's a moment that you go up and then you have to go backwards.
Yep.
So I was kind of wondering how that was going to play, you know, with the Frozen layover.
Yeah.
So that room is Elsa's ice castle, or that's what it's called. I don't know.
Yes, Elsa's castle. Sure. Doesn't have a name. Yes.
And you go up there, and she's doing her thing, and she's singing. And it's Let It Go, as you could probably imagine. And it's
she's doing this thing.
She's doing that thing, and the animatronic is really incredible, actually. And then right as you hit the top, you switch the things, and then right before you go back, it hits that climax. She's just like, "Let it go," and then you fall back, and then the whole I was like. Like, that was, like, I almost got chills. Like, I was, like, that was incredible. Like, I was, like, and that's coming from me that I don't really care about the source material. I was just, like, that moment. I was, like, dude, that I was, like, it was impressive.
So what you're telling me is I'm really going to like it.
Yeah, if you love Frozen, sure. But I will say this, and I said this on the Snapchat, too, for the 10 people listening that have access to my Snapchat. it's not, like, a public thing. I don't feel like it'll be worth like 2-3 hour wait. So like, I mean, if you're there and you're visiting, of course you're going to do it, but I don't know, man. Like, I'm just like, cause it's just so short.
Yeah.
You know, like Maelstrom was not a long ride. They added a little bit more to the ride mm-hmm. than Maelstrom, but you know, like 15 seconds more. I don't know. Like it's not like significant.
No, I'm not waiting 2 or 3 hours in line for any ride, just, you know, throwing that out there, but certainly not like a dark ride.
So, you know, I was surprised though. I mean, I was like, that was impressive. And that, you know, and that's my take on every time there's a new attraction or anything, I want to check it out. So moving on from that, I went to Magic Kingdom and I did the Hall of Presidents, which I'd never done before. That was on my bucket list. So.
Nice.
So no, I don't really want to get into that.
Yeah, no.
We can move on from that. But anyways.
I will say, though, that it was better than I thought it would be.
Yeah, no, it was fine. I just had some comments about it based on some things that happened in there that will bring up a political discussion that I don't want to bring up on the show.
No, but Hall of Presidents, I want to throw it out there for anybody that doesn't like politics, so they don't want to go into Hall of Presidents. I hate politics, and it is a great place to go when it's raining. Hey,
yeah, sure, definitely. No, I mean it was. You know, I've watched Great Moments of Mr. Lincoln, and it's obviously a longer version of that. There's some things from that film in the beginning that are there as well. You know, but yeah, no, it's something else. but I also checked out the brand new Muppets Do American History show that takes place in the street.
Oh yeah, that's they're like up in the buildings, right? Like up in the windows.
Yeah, yeah. So,
and that's in Magic Kingdom now.
Yeah, that's right next
to Liberty Square.
Yeah, it's right next to the Hall of Presidents. It's like right, you know, so they're like, you know, in windows above, and it was awesome. I mean, if you like Muppets, and I love Muppets, it was awesome. I mean, I can't. It's a very unique experience because, like even watching Muppet Vision 3D, you know, you're not really seeing the Muppets the way the Muppets are, mm-hmm. you know. But that's a unique experience where you're actually like seeing the Muppet size,
yeah,
almost an arm's length. I mean, they're up above, you know, but
still live. You're seeing them live as opposed to in like the movie where, you know, every once in a while a Muppet would pop out and like say something or
Muppet Vision. Yeah, so you know, as far as the content goes, it was totally fine. It was silly. It was goofy. They would tell the story of Paul Revere. I'd imagine they might tell the other ones because they had about 4 or 5 shows. I only saw one. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it's cool. I mean, it's kind of a diversion, you know. It's not so much an attraction.
I like it. I think it's neat. I mean, I haven't seen it, so I can't really say I like it. But I like the concept. When I read about it, I really like the concept. And it's a good use of space.
Oh, yeah.
It's a cool thing to just, you know, like you said, distract, you know, you and give you a little something to do. And it really does, like, it really is a Muppets type thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, they put it in a great spot because the Muppets do all those reenactments on the show. So they put it in a great spot in Liberty Square. Sam the Eagle.
Right.
Like, you couldn't get a better, you know, spokesperson for Liberty Square. Right. Like,
yeah, I mean, he clearly was the lead in this production. So, and Miss Piggy was great in it, you know. So it was.
Well, she's great in everything. I mean, right.
So she, I'm just letting her know she continued on being great. And, her perfect record is maintained of greatness. And. And yeah, and that's where I saw the show, and then I staked out my spot for the Festival of Fantasy Parade, which is new since I've been there. It's their 3 o'clock parade, and I hadn't seen anything about it besides the Maleficent Dragon Float. I saw a picture of that before, which breathes fire, which looked like a steampunk inspired thing. I thought maybe the whole parade was like this. That was not the case at all. The whole parade looks totally normal and happy and fun, but. Which is, you know, but I gotta say, the actual costumes of the non-characters that do the synchronized dancing and all that stuff, like, it was super weird and cool. Like, I love them. But seeing the Maleficent float, like, it was breathtaking. Like, I mean, that's why I stood and watched the parade and all that. That's why I claimed my spot and all that. And it was, even back to my Snapchat stories, it was funny. I got my video camera in one hand and I have my phone in the other one trying to take snaps of Maleficent. And right at the moment as it passes me, I'm staring up at her. It's a perfect shot. My snap's about to end. I got 1 second left on it. The fire comes out. I'm like, that was beautiful. I couldn't even plan.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is impressive. So if you can stake your claim on that one, that'd be cool. So on my way out, I wasn't going to do this, but it had a very short wait. So I was like, well, I'm going to do it. It's right here at the exit. And right now at Town Square is where they have the meet and greets for Mickey Mouse and Tinkerbell. And
really?
Yeah, because as soon as Mickey Toontown got taken away, they moved him into Town Square. And what also is cool, it's also like a magician.
Uh-huh.
It kind of ties in because in Dumbo's circus, there's a tent where you can meet the other four, and it's still circus themed. So I guess maybe that was carried over from that. I don't know. It's weird that there's a magician in Town Square. But needless to say, regardless of all that, this is the talking Mickey.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, it's 5 minutes. Let me go experience that. Let me go check that out and see what, you know, I have seen videos of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to it. And whenever I go to meet and greets at any park by myself, I know I posted the show, it's always assumed that I'm part of another party.
Always. Every single time.
Which was funny was that, so there was a family of like four or five, and I mean, small children, a couple of adults. And I was taking pictures of the things in the room because I'm documenting it for all of you. Because there's lots of, it's super themed. There's really cool like Easter eggs and stuff all around there. And so So I was taking pictures of things around the room while the family was meeting Mickey in front of me. And the photographer goes to me, he's like, you can take yours first, like of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't know them. So I'm not sure they want me taking photos. And she's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I thought you were with us. I was like, nope.
Every time.
So that was cute. But, so my time with Mickey, it was incredible. It was so magical. Let me tell you why. So I guess it's programmed. There's no way it's like on the fly that they're saying things real time.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess whoever was deciding what Mickey was going to say knew what I wanted to hear. Based on how I was dressed or whatever. So, or my shirt and my pins and all that stuff. So, he's like, hey, he gives me a hug and he goes, he's like, hey, did you hear in that mansion up on the hill? I heard that there's ghosts in there. And then I was like, I'm like, I don't know how to break it to you, dude, but there's totally ghosts in that mansion. And he like freaked out. He's like, oh my God. And he's like that. And he ran around. It was incredible.
That's awesome.
And then he was like, I'm not going to do a Mickey voice, but he's like, hey, let's take our picture. Like the hitchhiking ghost. And it's like, so, and of course, like, I'm like, that is an awesome thing that they could point out, like, Haunted Mansion fans.
Yes.
To have that kind of experience, you know, like that was awesome.
I want us to get the Talking Mickey so bad.
Oh, you mean in Disneyland, huh?
Okay. Yeah.
You said us.
No, I'm in the living room. No, yes. Disneyland. My bad. Sorry. Disneyland. Because we have, like, we got the one that blinks, you know.
For the movie? Isn't that during, but that's during the show or
no,
something?
No, it's during the show. It's yeah. during, what is it? It's, no, it's for the, parade. When you go to Mickey's house.
Oh, he blinks? Oh, I haven't. Yeah. I haven't done that in Disneyland for a long time, so I don't know.
Yeah. We got the one that blinks. And then, like, in Mickey and the Magical Map, you know, the Louie that comes out, his mouth moves and he blinks and that kind of stuff. But getting the Talking Mickey for the meet and greet is going to be amazing.
Yeah, well, hopefully it comes because it is really cool. I got to say, it's – yeah, I liked it. And it was, and I'll tell you this too. So I haven't done a lot of meet and greets at Disneyland, but one particular day I was like, all right, I'm gonna do this, you know. And I told some of those stories on the show before. It was kind of funny, but I think the one thing that Walt Disney World has up on Disneyland with the meet and greets is the time that you get to spend with the characters. Like, it's not like, oh, hey, what's up? Not that they say that, but, you know, like, it's...
You don't feel rushed.
Yeah, yeah, because they're definitely rushing you through at Disneyland, but they... It's part of the experience. Like, it's like that whole time I told you I was in there with Mickey, like, and he was dealing with me, I would say that was, like at least 3 minutes, maybe even five minutes. It was enough time that I felt like, that initial, like, oh, they're going to be wrapping this up soon, and they did it. You know?
That's awesome.
So that's one thing they have up on that, is they're really trying to give the experience, not just pose for the picture.
Yeah. No, when that happens at Disneyland, we feel like super special.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't happen a lot. And so when it does happen, it's definitely something that you really, really remember.
And I'll also say this too. I'm kind of disappointed in my Disneyland face characters because I just feel like maybe because they're talking to me, they just kind of start phoning it in and not talking to a kid. But I feel like we're in Southern California. There should be like actors here. and the ones in Florida are like really good. Like they're like a whole different level. Like I know I've been bashing on Walt Disney World versus Disneyland for a lot of things, but that is one area where they excel.
Nice.
So I don't know what's up, guys, but because, I mean, my comparison is this, like, even I went to Ariel's Grotto for a meal once, and, you know, and all the princesses come to the table and you have that magic moment.
Yeah.
I really feel like every time they went to our table, like, besides Rapunzel was good because I asked her where a frying pan was and she pointed to the kitchen. So I thought that was good. But I feel like everyone else was just kind of like, just phoning it in, really.
Yeah.
you know, which is fine. But I really like talking to the people. I like having these improv conversations with the characters.
Yeah.
You know, and so.
Some of my best memories of Disneyland and Disney World are meet and greets, are conversations. And in every one is when they were. When it was an actual conversation.
Right.
They make you feel like you are the only one there, you know, even though all of these people are waiting.
Right. And that's a good way to put it. That's the way I felt during this and another meet and greet, which I'll talk about later, is that I really feel like, I feel like you're the only one there. It doesn't matter how many people are waiting.
Yeah.
You know, so it's.
I wish they were all like that. I mean, that's what they're supposed to be like. Obviously, that's what you would hope that every, you know, as Disney as a company, that's what you would hope that everyone takes away from it, is that they feel that special. Right. When they meet a character, it's unfortunate that it's not always like that.
Well, I mean, it's kind of evolved from the way it used to be when we were younger, which was they didn't have lines or meet and greets. You would just run into the characters. Right. You know, and I guess that's just not possible.
No, not you
know,
anymore.
Not anymore. But that's – I miss that. You know, I love that. But whatever. Moving on. From there, I went to Hollywood Studios – for a very small period of time. Like, they were open for like an hour and a half by the time I got there. I had four goals, only got to do three of them, which is fine. The one I didn't get to do was they had a preview of Doctor Strange, and I just, I don't know.
Oh,
it's, not,
all right.
It's not the end of the world. I'll see the movie.
Yeah. Cool.
And there's really not much open there at Hollywood Studios on top of that, so whatever. But,
no, dude, Hollywood Studios is where you eat.
Oh, I don't eat there, but there's plenty of great restaurants there. But I had to visit Muppet Vision. I've been missing it so much. You know, it's been closed at DCA the whole time I lived here. It's not like the most amazing thing ever, but I'm just like, you know, as a Muppets fan, it's awesome. It's the last Jim Henson thing. I love it. And it's not going anywhere because in Hollywood Studios, because they're building this restaurant called Pizza Rizzo, which is, I don't know when it's opening.
Oh, neat.
But you could see the facade, and it looked really cool. I look forward to that experience. And apparently, I don't know if it's true or not, but it's supposed to be like a bunch of the Rizzos and his rat friends will be crawling around the along the ceiling and bringing food. I don't know if they're literally bringing your food, but
that's awesome, but, though. I can't wait to see that.
I doubt that's going to happen. But what's interesting, though, is that it's in the form of Pizza Planet place.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see the sign for Rizzo's, and it looks like a New York pizza place. It says, you know, whatever, best New York. And then it says best pizza on the planet. But Pizza and Planet are really big, so it's like an Easter egg that it used to be Pizza Planet.
Nice.
So that's cute. But,
that's awesome.
But and I hadn't been on a great movie ride since like 2009, so I was like, I really want to go on that. I heard some strong rumors. These are just rumors that Great Movie Ride's going away, and not that there's things in it that are cool. The whole thing about it, you know, there's things that are not cool that you're gonna be updated. But
I wish they'd update it. I wish they would.
It has potential to be a constantly updated awesome thing.
Yes,
and it's not, you know, and they haven't done it, and in so I believe the rumors that I've heard that it's on the chopping block.
I refuse to believe that.
The rumor that I heard is that it'll be replaced with a Mickey Mouse movie ride. So Mickey Mouse through time. Like all the different, you know, like hit of his career kind of thing, which I'm all for it. They're actually, I mean, there's Mickey Philharmagic, which he's not.
I love Philharmagic. I wouldn't hate that, but I really like the Great Movie Ride. So I refuse to believe that. I'm not even listening to that rumor until it's 100%.
That's fine. True. But they're making the park, moving the park away from the studios aspect more and more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's still movies, but not like this is a studio where movies are made thing.
Yeah.
So that's why I believe that's part of that I mean, you know, who knows? But I just figured, let me go on. I've been on it forever. So
yeah, no, totally.
And, you know, I love the Alien scene. Love the Wizard of Oz scene. So it's fun times. But, of course, the number one thing I had to do there was go on Tower of Terror. You know, I even heard rumors that they're taking the Aerosmith theming out of Rock and Roller Coaster, and I'm just like, I don't care.
I don't care how Rock and Roller Coaster is themed, as long as they don't get rid of Rock and Roller Coaster, I'm okay.
Yeah, no, I haven't heard they're getting rid of. I heard that Aerosmith is being taken out of. So,
oh well.
Yeah, but I didn't go on it, so I didn't have time. Anyways, but you know. I'm not going to get into this here. This is a very controversial topic, you know, Tower of Terror leaving DCA.
Yeah, let's not.
But I will say this, is that Every time I read Tower of Terror in DCA, I'm like, yeah, you get the sensation of, you know, The Falling, and that's cool. But I always feel like ripped off.
I'm just because it's not, because there's no dark ride to it.
Yeah, there's like, it's just not the full Tower of Terror experience that's in Hollywood Studios. Oh.
Okay, we have never actually had this conversation, but yes, I agree 110%. Tower of Terror at DCA, although I do love it, I love Tower of Terror, it's just not the real Tower of Terror.
It's not. Yeah, it's like I feel ripped. That's the only thing. I feel ripped off every time. Like, man, come on, guys. So it was really important to me to get on here, of course, to get out, you know, at least get one ride. Another thing that's different too is Tower has random and Hollywood Studios, they have random ride sequences. Uh-huh. DCA is the same one every time.
Yep.
And I have to say, I mean, after you're a local, you go on the ride a few times, you get it, you know what to expect. And, you know, I have yet to ride it in the dark, which is the new thing they're doing before it closes. So I don't know how that's like, but
I don't know. We'll do it in November.
Yeah, because now that it's closing, that is crazy long wait. So now I won't wait because you know how to wait for things. Anyways,
we're so spoiled.
Definitely.
Jesus.
So I get there. And it's like 10 minutes to close. I was like, as long as I get in the queue, I'm good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wrong. Apparently the ride's down and they're only letting people that have fast pass reservations go in.
Oh.
Because when it goes back up, like then those people ride through. The park closed at 7. This is a weird thing that's going on with Disney World too. Park closed at 7. Fantasmic was at 7:30.
Yeah, they've always done that.
So, but the park's not really closed. So there's like, it's just this weird gray area where, and again, I get the other rides, they stop letting you in the queue at that time. So it's quote unquote closed. But that was kind of the gray area of what was going to happen with Tower on that day. Like, were they going to open back up the standby line or not? So I didn't know. And I basically was like, I'm just going to wait here. I mean,
yeah. What else do you have to do?
Yeah. I didn't know for how long. I mean, I was accepting that I wasn't going to be able to ride. Like I'm like, all right, it's good. I don't know. I don't want you to be too bummed out about this, James, but you know, but anyways, long story short, what ended up happening was, these two other people were waiting there with me and everyone else like that heard about, like they just left, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I feel like there's a small chance that they still might let us in because there was only three of us there.
Yeah.
That's really why I was standing there. So, and so I was talking to two other people and they were like super pissed about the situation. You know, I was tolerating it. Mm-hmm. I don't like to be crabby about stuff like that, especially to cast members, you know, like,
no, yeah,
it is what it is. But, you know, we were all waiting in it together, and apparently somebody walked up to these two people and asked if they wanted to go on the ride because they had a fast pass that was like a paper fast pass that was like a any ride front of the line thing or whatever.
Uh-huh.
It was like, you know, said, do you have a fast pass? They're like, no. And it said, here, and handed this guy three fast passes. And so that guy was like, he said to me, he's like, come on.
Nice.
And when he first said, come on, I didn't know why. And then I was like, what? What happened? And he's like, I got fast. I was like, awesome. And then I found out like that what happened. And he just said, come on. And then I was like, oh, sweet. So not only did we, you know, the standby line was like super long.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to bypass that line. So I got to go almost pretty much walk right on. And getting on the ride, not knowing this ride sequences, and going to the fifth dimension and not holding on. I just loved everything. I was just like, oh my God, the way it ends is so much like a TV
cooler
screen. Like, it's just so cool. I'm just like,
yes.
I'm like, oh my God. So I got to do Tower. So anyways, wrapping this up, I went back to Epcot. I tried to go to Universe of Energy. Cause remember were saying we'd never get to do it.
Yeah.
And another, we're on the rumor patrol here. There's rumors that that's closing as well.
Well, that didn't surprise me at all.
Right. Yeah. You know. So I'm like, I'm going to do it. All right. Let's go. And, you know, at this point, it's like 8 o'clock. The park closes at 9. And I walk up there and they're like, Universe of Energy is closed for the day. I was like, I don't think it's ever going to happen.
Right? You're never going to go on this ride. Not ever.
I mean, again, I mean, I went on it as a child, not as Ellen, but,
yeah.
You know, I'm like, I want to experience it again as, you know, as an adult, and it's just not happening. So, anyways, I headed to World Showcase. I rode Grand Fiesta Tour, which that was my last ride of the trip. And yeah, I don't know. I think it's a fun ride. It's there's never a wait. And they
it's cute, and it got new animatronics.
Yeah, they had new animatronics in there, so I was like, "That's cool." And it always smells so good in there.
The food's well, there. It is in a restaurant.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, so it's kind of like the Disney World's Blue Bayou. You know, that's the closest you get to that.
Yep.
So, anyways, at that point, I was like, I don't know, it was like 10 minutes to close. I was standing right there, and I was walking around, and I saw that the wait time to meet Anna and Elsa was 10 minutes.
Nice.
So I was like, "I'm just gonna go do it." I don't know. It's a new
as well.
I knew that it was a new place, and it was themed. It was their summer house, is what it's in.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, again, wanting to see the new experiences, I'm like, I'll just go check this out and take my picture with them and move on or whatever. It turns out, adding on to what I said about meeting Mickey, that it was super fun and super long time was spent because they're separately with each of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like talking with Elsa was like, that was, you know, to meet her first. She was fun. She was asking me if I was harvesting ice and I was talking about that and.
Because obviously you look like a peasant ice harvester.
I guess. I don't know. I don't even know how that came up. But then she asked me if I feed carrots to Sven when I saw him. And then I said, maybe I should. She's like, be sure to give chocolate-covered carrots. And I was like, that doesn't sound very tasty. So that was amusing and that was fun. But talking with Anna, holy crap. That was amazing. Like, when I went over to her, she was, like, super stoked, like to see me. Because I guess her whole thing is that she's playful and fun.
That's her personality.
That's her personality. Yeah, so it was
Elsa's
like –
Elsa's kind of dry. Right. Elsa's she's very reserved and she's kind of dry.
Yeah, that's exactly how she was. Yeah, and as opposed to Anna, like, she was – like, as soon as I went over there, we were, like – I don't remember what she was talking about. We started talking about trolls. Oh, because she said that – Oh, I was wearing my Haunted Mansion Medusa shirt, mm-hmm. and she said something like, the shirt's kind of scary. And I'm like, I don't really see anything like that before. I was like, yeah, but I'm like, you see trolls around here, don't you? And she's like, oh, I guess those are kind of – so we started joking around about trolls, and we were genuinely joking around and laughing. And I really felt like I was talking to, like, a real person. Like, I was just like
– That's awesome.
And then she asked me do you know what you're going to be for Halloween? I was like, no. And then I was like, and she's like, I know what Olaf's going to be. He's like, he's going to be a stack of pumpkins because he already looks like a stack of pumpkins. And I was like, good, you know, great costume. And so the whole time we were joking around and we were laughing and all this stuff. And then the photographer was like, so, you know, almost like, it's like, are you guys ready for the picture? I was like, oh, yeah, I guess. she's like, I guess we could take a picture. We were having a conversation about pumpkins and trolls. I don't know. I walked out of there thinking like that was fun. Like,
yeah.
And again, like that experience of between the both of them, I was in there for like 10 minutes with the both of them, like total. Like, you know, it was a lot of fun. I can only imagine if it was like, if that's like spirits like that for like Maleficent or something, like that would be like,
right,
you know, something like that. Like that would be like personally like super amazing, you know, like, or, you know, or Lady Tremaine or whatever, or the stepsisters, like the ones that are really, you know, have a lot to say that are,
yep. That are we had a meet and greet like that with Tremaine and the stepsisters. I'll tell you about it one day.
I think you did tell me about it, but
probably. I'm sure I have. But yeah, it was long and it was really cool. It was actual conversation, like super cool.
So yeah, it was, that's how I ended my theme park day. And just to wrap up, because I know we're going way over here.
Oh, way over.
But we're having fun. Two things here. Well, three, actually. There was three locations I wanted to visit that were brand new, that were in, you know, outside the theme parks, three bars.
Mm-hmm.
One was their Trader Sam's.
Mm-hmm. At the Polynesian.
At the Poly. So I went there. I have to say, Disneyland's is kind of like way better. The vibe in there is a cooler vibe, I guess, because everyone is like, every time anything happens, everyone's super into it.
Uh-huh.
As opposed to Disneyland, maybe like most people are kind of like, oh, that happened. Or, you know, like, you know, when you, if people don't know what we're talking about, it's when you order certain drinks, certain things happen and
yeah,
you know, in the bar. But everyone was super into it in there. But it's weird because it's like in the Poly, they have like their grand hall or whatever they call it, where they have all their restaurants. And essentially they kind of like shoehorn Trader Sam's in like the back corner. Like there was, you wouldn't even really know it was there unless you were like specifically told where it was. I described it as like I made a Trader Sam's in like my spare bedroom. Like the inside is immaculate, but just the outside of it, it's just like a random door. Like it's just, it doesn't, like Disneyland's, you really feel like you've stumbled upon a place that's been there forever.
Yes.
You know, and it's not like that there. So, and then they do have an outdoor seating area, but it's not directly connected to Trader Sam's. You have to go out the like two doors and go around a corner. So it doesn't seem like it's the same place.
Yeah.
You know, they have a server out there, you know, so whatever, that was fine. The other place that was brand new is Jacques Lindsay's Hangar Bar. This is a bar that is themed after Indiana Jones.
It's Indy, right? Yeah, yeah. The Indiana Jones theme bar. Yes.
And this place it's pretty cool. It's pretty small. But there's so much eye candy. There's so much going on there. And I'm not really like, it's been a while since I watched like Indiana Jones movie, so I wasn't like up on it. But the bartender was telling me that there's artifacts from Indiana Jones films scattered throughout the bar, and he was pointing them out to me.
Neat.
And so it's yeah. So I feel like I'm like, I need to rewatch the movies and then come back here to really appreciate all this stuff. But
right,
it was really cool. But my favorite new place that just opened up probably like a month ago was at the Boardwalk. It's called the Abracadab Bar. It's a magician themed bar.
It looks awesome.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Okay, so where did they put it?
It's right next to Flying Fish.
Okay. Do you know what used to be there?
I do not.
I'm trying to remember.
It's pretty small. I mean, it might not have been anything there. You know, it might have been part of Flying Fish, you know, and they just, you know, sectioned it off. But they don't serve any food there. It's one of the few, I think the only bars that on Walt Disney are property that just serves drinks. I mean, I could be wrong on that, but but the atmosphere in there is incredible. The drinks that they had there, they're so much fun. I ended up going there twice because the first night I went there, by the time I got there, they literally were closing in like 5 minutes. And
sad.
Because I thought it was open until 2 a.m. But it was open until midnight. So I got some misinformation along the way.
Yes. For anybody that is familiar with the Boardwalk, it is now where Seashore Suites used to be.
All right. You got to crack the case.
There we go.
So, but they gave me a cup to go, which I thought was interesting. But so
and very nice.
Yeah, it was nice. Right, so I sat on the Boardwalk and drank my drink and chilled out for a little bit. And the drink that I got that night was called the Pepper's Ghost, which was in honor of my trip, of course, Haunted Mansion documentary. It was like, I gotta have the Pepper's Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, I got to get back there the next day because I want to take pictures and I want to, you know, hang out in there for a little bit. So,
yeah.
So, you know, a few hours before my trip ended, I did that. and the drink I had there was the Conjurita.
Cute.
And this drink, when they pour it, and it's one color, then they take it and put it in another thing and say abracadabra, and they pour it back out, and it changes color.
Wow.
So between, and I'm like, and I think they have like 10 or 12 specialty drinks that are like magic themed with something nice. Like that. So yeah, this place is pretty awesome. The staff there was great. When I was there, it was pretty early in the day. So there was just, you know, they were just talking to me about my trip, and one other person came in. It's probably the creepiest. It's not really creepy, but you know, just the whole magician's vibe. It's kind of dark and
yeah,
you know, there's a straitjacket and a frame in there. That's creepy, right? So
and a wall of mirrors. There's a wall of mirrors. There's supposed to be a wall of mirrors.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's themed about, it's missing magicians though, right? Like it's like they disappeared or something like that.
Yeah, there was a little bit of the backstory I was getting. I'm not sure of it all. I'll go back to you on that one.
All right. It's okay.
I'm not sure what's going on there, but it's awesome. I loved it. So, yeah, I think that's really about it. Disney Springs is new. I went around there. There's some fun things there. That's where Hangar Bar was. Mm-hmm. They have a car that you can't drive it, but you could sit in it. Someone else drives it that drives into the water and turns into a boat.
Oh yeah. That thing is awesome.
Yeah. And they're themed like 50s cars. So for whatever mm-hmm. reason, but, so that's fun. yeah. I checked out a few things, but I mean, Disney Springs, you know, for the most part, is just a, you know, like, especially in Southern California, there's a bunch of these like outdoor, like luxury shopping districts. It's just kind of like that. But they have these exclusive restaurants that are there, like the Hangar Bar's there. There's one I want to try that people rave about called the Boathouse. So it's, you know, that's what, you know, Downtown Disney turned into. And, you know, they have parking garages now for it and everything. So, I mean, it's a cool, yeah. It's a cool. I don't know why I started talking like Mario there. But anyways, that was the highlights of my trip there. So, like at the end of my trip, I'm like, you know what? I feel like I want to do this with everybody next year.
Yeah. Nope. I totally agree. We should do that.
So we'll revisit that. But anyways, yes. We've been on long enough, so we're going to wrap it up.
All right.
So thank you for listening to me tell you about my time at Walt Disney World.
I will always listen to you talk about Walt Disney World.
Thank you. Hopefully listeners will too.